This is the Sports Bosses on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Miami, here's Jim Rodriguez and Sean Stanley.
Back at it on SB Nation Radio. We continue talking tournament stuff. Leonard Hamilton.
Did he screw up? Did he go to, you know, did he drop the ball?
Both on the court and off the court. Talk about a guy who covers a lot of college basketball. He's the founder and manager of CardChronicle.com. That's the SB Nation. He's also the college basketball editor for SB Nation. Co-host Ramsey and Rutherford on 790 KRRD and the author of 100 Things Louisville. He's on Twitter at Card Chronicle. He's the great. He's the legendary Mike Rutherford, and he joins us on our Quicken Loans guest line. Mike, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me.
Hey, so I guess the first question is, before we get into the deep into the Louisville, just tell me about this NCAA tournament. I think it's been fantastic. I've asked this a lot of people. Are all these upsets, or all these Cinderellas, is it good or bad for college basketball? Because there's been sort of a market correction, if you will. We've got some chalk on the right side of the bracket, but, you know, Michigan, Loyola, is this good or bad?
Well, I think it's the best of both worlds, the way that this wound up setting up, because you've got, on one side, you're appeasing sort of the March anarchists, the guys who kind of watch just to see a 13 seed beat a 4, or to see, you know, UMBC do what they did on that opening Friday. You've got a great human interest story in Loyola Chicago. They're the fourth number 11 seed to make the Final Four. No double-digit seeds ever won a game at the Final Four, so if they're able to beat Michigan and play for the national championship, they'll be the first. And I think that would be a fantastic story for people who just kind of casually tune into the sport and watch March Madness for the unpredictability of it all. So you've got that on one side. And then on the other, like you mentioned, you've got the chalk. You've got the guys that we expect to see here. You've got Villanova, who I think was the betting favorite heading into this tournament. You've got Kansas, who, you know, one seed for the billionth year in a row or whatever it is. So you're going to have a quality game over there without question. I think Loyola also is going to give you a quality product, but maybe if they do sort of revert to the mean and maybe don't look like a Final Four team when they're on the big stage in San Antonio, you've at least got two teams playing the late game that you know are going to give you a quality product. So I think this tournament, it's not like it's been in other years when things have totally fallen apart and you've had so many upsets and so much unpredictability that the Final Four has given you sort of a watered-down product. I think it's for the first time that I can remember kind of had a feel that pleases both sides, if you will, when it comes to taste.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, when I look at these four teams, we clearly know who Cinderella is. We clearly know, you know, there's not a lot of pressure on them. They're just happy to be here. And it almost seems like the pressure once again lands squarely on the guy who seems to be a glutton for punishment, Bill Self and the Jayhawks. Once again, they're the ones that if they lose, well, you know, there it is again.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, going up against Villanova, there's no shame in losing that game. They've been probably the most complete team the entire year. They're going to be about a five-point favorite in that game. I think Bill Self, it's strange. He's sort of gotten the monkey off his back, I think, just by getting to San Antonio, because there was so much talk of the fact that he had never, he'd only once, I think, gotten to the Final Four as a one seed, despite being a one seed nine times before this season. So winning that game, seeing Grayson Allen's shot fall off the rim, I think is huge for him and huge for that program. But, you know, yeah, if they lose to Villanova, there are going to be some fans who say, we haven't won a title in over a decade now. What's up? All these Big 12 championships, all these 1 and 2 seeds, you got to show us more in the tournament. But I think that group has been at least quieted temporarily. But it's interesting that Kansas has been this under the radar team all year long when they've been basically ranked in the top 10 from start to finish. They are a one seed now, and we still haven't talked about them in terms of being a realistic title contender all that often. And now here they are, just two wins away, getting Malik Newman playing as well as he's been playing is a huge, huge thing. And if they can get Devontae Graham to snap out of the funk he's been in the past 2 weeks, they're certainly as capable as any of these four teams of winning these two games in a row.
Sometimes I've heard coaches say that while it's never good to lose, they're good building opportunities. And the struggles that Kansas had at the beginning of the year, especially losing at home, was that a good thing now that we're in March and now they're making a deep run?
It might have been. I mean, I think it was weird that we all looked back and we said, you know, if they get Billy Preston eligible, if they get another inside presence, they added the Silvio D'Souza kid, who's been a nice help off the bench. But basically, they've been forced to play a style that Bill Self's not comfortable with, because they've always had two really, really good post players, and this year they've never had that, and they just kind of went small ball. And it didn't work for a while because Malik Newman wasn't shooting the ball well. Svi Mykhailiuk wasn't playing up to his potential. Svi kind of got it going in January when they were hitting their stride in conference play, and Malik Newman has really got it going this last month and a half. And sometimes it's that simple. I mean, sometimes the grand fix, if you want to call it that, is just one or two guys playing better. And Malik Newman, transferring in from Mississippi State, he was a five-star kid. A lot of guys thought he was going to be a one-and-done player 2 years ago. It's taken him more time. I mean, he was not great at Mississippi State. He was not great to start this season. And now he's the Midwest Regional Most Outstanding Player. He's looking like he is the go-to guy for Kansas now, even more so than Devontae Graham. And sometimes, I mean, you can do all the coaching in the world, all the strategizing in the world. Sometimes guys just have to play better. And Kansas's guys, they've been better the last 6 weeks than they had been the first 3 months.
Michigan, quite the run. I mean, we talk about Loyola and deservingly so. Michigan, I mean, a wild three-pointer, legs wide open that got him through beating Houston. Talk about Jim, the job John Boeheim's done with Michigan, and are they a surprise to be at this point?
I think John Boeheim's done a fantastic job. I was saying this earlier. I think it's sort of interesting, though, you know, how thin the margin between genius and idiot in March can be. I mean, if Jordan Poole, that shot you were just referencing, let's say he misses it badly. He shoots it over the backboard. Everybody's saying John Boeheim, you know, he should have drawn up a better play. He should have gotten the ball in Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman's hand. He should have gotten it to Mo Wagner. He should have gotten it to anybody but Jordan Poole. But because that freshman makes that one shot that's heavily guarded and was the only shot he made in the second half of that game, Beeline's this March genius. And that's just how the tournament works. But, I mean, Michigan's they're playing fantastic basketball right now. They haven't lost since February 6th. They've been on this March run that really mimics the one they went on a year ago. But the interesting thing about the Wolverines is they've played four games the past 2 weeks in this tournament. They played three really bad offensive games, if you want to look at it that way, and then one game that was near perfect against Texas A&M where they scored 99 points. But they haven't really given their best thus far. I think that they, outside of that one game against A&M, have kind of been sloppy. They didn't play especially well against Florida State. They should have lost to Houston, and they kind of slugged out a win over Montana in the first round. If they can harness that A&M game and give two efforts like that in San Antonio, they could easily win their first national championship since 1989.
How's Loyola doing this? I mean, it's fun, but now we're in the Final Four. This is serious now. This is awesome. Sister Jean's a national treasure. How are they doing this?
They run tremendous offense, and they play really hard-nosed defense. I mean, they're one of the better on-ball defending teams in this tournament, and the numbers dictate that. They were fifth in the country in points per game allowed heading into this tournament. They've been really terrific on defense against some really talented offensive teams. I mean, holding Miami to 64 points is impressive. Holding Tennessee and K-State and everybody else in this tournament to under 70 is quite an accomplishment. But they're also extremely, extremely efficient on offense. They kind of go with that Virginia model of, we're not going to play a whole lot of possessions, but because we're so efficient, we're going to be better than you are in those limited possessions. They shot 56.7% from the field in that Elite Eight win. It's the 24th time this year where they shot at least 50% from the field. No other team in the country has done this. So this it's not an anomaly. This isn't a mid or low major team just hitting a bunch of threes, playing out of their minds, and getting lucky and knocking off four teams in a row. This is what Loyola Chicago's been doing all year. This is their mindset. They beat Florida back in December on the road in a true road game. They rolled through the Missouri Valley, which is always a competitive conference. They are a really, really good team. Are they good enough to win two more? I don't know, but I would not be shocked at all if they beat Michigan, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if they gave us a competitive national title game. They are, I think you can make the case that they're the best double-digit seed to ever make the Final Four.
Hey, I got to ask you, we only have about 45 seconds left, so sorry to make it quick. What's going on with Louisville? Who's going to be the coach there?
I think we're going to find out here in very short order. They've got a press conference scheduled today where they're expected to announce that the interim athletic director, Vince Tyre, here is going to be named the permanent athletic director. He met with Chris Mack of Xavier over the weekend. A lot of people think the deal got done, and they're going to announce it either on Tuesday or Wednesday. Around here, that's sort of the long and short of it. People think it's going to be Chris Mack. People think it's going to be announced this week. If it's not, I've got no idea where they go. if it's not Mack, then it gets really interesting around here.
Who wins the title? Who wins the national championship? One-word answer.
I'm sticking with Kansas. Took them before the season. Took them before the tournament. I'm hanging in there. I'm going with the Jayhawks.
Love it. That's Mike Rutherford from Card Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Mike Rutherford brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Overreaction Monday next.